Good morning. How are we doing? Second time around, a bit better. So this morning we're starting our second part in our Mental Health in Christ series. And this week we're going to be looking at the topic of lies, misbeliefs, and truth. And next week will be the last in the series, so I really hope you can join us for that. Especially too because it will be my last sermon here at Papa Nui. So who knows what I might say. Just for some context to this series, a lot of the content I've used and will use today and next week as well is based on something called Living Wisdom Counseling, or there's a Living Wisdom Counseling School run by Dave Riddell, a very well-known counselor in New Zealand. And it's also based on Soul Tour teachings as well, which is it's like the young adult expression of Living Wisdom. And that's run by Matt and Belinda Stott, who Zara and I live with. So that's just some context as to, I'm not just making this stuff up. That's where a lot of this comes from. Over New Year's, Zara and I went away on holiday with Sarah and Elliot to Akaroa. And it can be hard to get some time away from ministry, so we kind of wanted to stay somewhere a bit fancy and make it a bit special. So we stayed at, I'm not sure if you've heard of it, Top 10 Holiday Parks. We stayed there in the non-powered site, of course. Got to save a few bucks. But we were all sitting there and we were looking over the campsite and over the harbour. It's a beautiful place, actually. And we heard the all-too-familiar sound of Mr. Whippy's ice cream truck. And it wasn't long till it was being chased by a horde of young savages chasing the truck with $10 notes from their parents, eagerly anticipating their next fix. But watching this, I remembered a story from a friend in Auckland. And most parents will know that when you hear the Mr. Whippy music, it won't be long before your kids rush to you and ask for some money to buy some ice cream with. But my friend's parents, they kind of had a way around this. What they'd done is they'd convinced him growing up that when Mr. Whippy plays his music, it means that he's all out of ice cream. So he would sit at home watching kids chasing after Mr. Whippy, thinking, what idiots, don't they know he's out of ice cream? There's nothing there. I remember when I was little and I watched TV and I'd see the game for Twister. There was an ad on television. I'm not sure if you remember it. It had a jingle and it would say, Twister, the hot spot. And it also included the phrase, it's wicked hot. And in the ad, the kids playing the game would put their hands on the spots, and in the ad, it like kind of looks like it's buzzing or like heating up around their hand. So me and my like childlike kind of thought if I played this game, that the spots would actually physically heat up or they'd buzz if you'd been doing it long enough. And I remember the first time I got to play Twister, being utterly disappointed. When confronted with the reality that my perception of the popular Milton Bradley game had been based on a lie. I don't know if you've had any experiences of growing up and realizing that you've been lied to, had a misbelief, or been sold a half-truth. Maybe it was learning that birds and bees aren't actually that interested in each other. Maybe it was realizing that Santa was somehow at photo booths at both of the malls you had been to that day. Maybe it was realizing that the Tooth Fairy's financial situation directly correlates with your parents' financial situation. Maybe you stood on a crack and didn't marry a rat. Maybe it was learning that despite what your math teacher said, we do essentially carry a calculator wherever you go. We can grow up believing some pretty harmless lies. But somewhere along the way, we also grow up believing some pretty dangerous and harmful lies. Lies about ourselves, lies about other people, lies about God. Many of us have become accustomed to trusting every thought or emotion we feel. But not all our thoughts and emotions are based on the truth. We often live with unexamined and unquestioned erroneous assumptions. But in reality, everything we tell ourselves fits into either two categories, either truth or a lie. And as disconcerting as it might feel, we actually spend a large amount of time lying to ourselves. Lies and misbeliefs actually play a really big part in our lives. Psychologists reckon we probably have about 80,000 thoughts a day. I wonder how many of those thoughts are true and how many of them are false. Almost all people will have major lies in their life that will have a big effect on their emotions and behavior. I'm going to list some examples of some of the most common lies that people believe, and I want you to listen carefully, and I want to see if you can recognize this lie in your life or maybe in the life of someone you know. My worth is determined by other people. I cannot change. Everybody is trustworthy. Nobody is trustworthy. I am my body. My worth is determined by my performance. My feelings are always reliable. I am responsible for and determine other people's feelings. My choices have no consequences. My choices are crucial. I'm not okay. I'm acceptable. I'm unacceptable or inadequate or a nuisance. I wonder if you believe one of these lies. And a lot of these lies are subconscious lies. They surface in our self-talk. Our self-talk reveals what we truly believe about ourselves. In our self-talk, we can see some of these lies play out in the way that we think. A lot of people have extremely bad self-talk if they listen to it. In fact, we often speak to ourselves in a way that we'd never dream of talking to other people. I remember my first lot of exams at Laidlaw. I talked to a counsellor about feeling worried and anxious. I also had a lot of negative self-talk heading into exams. When I talked to her, I expected her to hear out my problems and sympathise with me. Instead, she listened and asked me a few questions. Have you passed all your assignments? Yes. Have you done well in all your assignments? Yes. Do you understand the topics that you've been taught well? Yes. So why are you worried and anxious? It had never occurred to me that the emotions I was feeling weren't based on the truth. They were actually irrational. In fact, they were probably coming from a lie in my life about being stupid my worth being found in my performance. So the truth was clear. I was probably going to do fine in my exams, and the emotions that I was feeling weren't based on the truth. She then said, even if you fail your exams, then what? Well, I'll feel bad and silly and dumb. And then what? Nothing. That's it. I'll feel bad. I realized the truth was that if I fail, I might feel silly for a bit, but that's okay. It's okay to experience negative emotions sometimes. I'm an adult and I'll be fine. And then I pass my exams anyway. Lies, misbeliefs, and the twisting of truth is the source of a lot of our mental and emotional unrest. In fact, the very first story in the Bible, the story of the downfall of humanity, is a story of the truth being twisted and a lie being believed. In Genesis, we hear this. God says to Adam, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. So God has expressed to Adam that we can freely eat from every tree in the garden, and that the only one tree can't be eaten from, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if they do eat from that tree, God warns, they will die. Then in Genesis 3, the serpent talks to Eve and says this. Did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Firstly, what the serpent does is something called gaslighting. The phrase comes from a 1940s play where an abusive husband was secretly causing gas lights in his home to dim and flicker. And when his wife would say something, he would say that she was going crazy. Gaslighting is when you try and manipulate someone by questioning their own memory, perception, or even their sanity. It's an attempt to shift someone's reality. Did God say? Is your memory correct? Did you mishear? Did you misunderstand? Gaslighting makes you question your own understanding of what truth is and your reliability to discern it. Then the serpent starts lying and misrepresenting God. Did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden? There's actually a really easy answer to this question. No. God didn't say anything like this at all. In fact, God said almost the opposite. He said that we're free to eat any tree in the garden except for one. And Eve seems somewhat savvy to this plan and actually corrects the serpent. She tells him that no, God said there was only one particular tree that they shouldn't eat from. But then Eve starts to exaggerate or even misrepresent God's prohibition. Listen carefully to what she says again. We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You must not touch it? When did God say that? God said simply not to eat it, but Eve seems to have added an extra rule. Why has she done this? Has she simply forgotten the details of what God said to Adam? Or is she frustrated by the prohibition, so exaggerated the severity of what God actually said? Either way, it seems she's starting to lose touch with truth and reality. The snake then seals the deal, first with an outright lie. God has said, if you eat from the tree, you will die. But the serpent says, you will not die. The snake goes on to question God's motive, suggesting that God wants to keep Adam and Eve ignorant, and that he doesn't want them to be like him. So Adam and Eve both share the fruit and face the resulting consequences. Right from the very start of our scriptures, we see the importance of humanity understanding truth and rejecting lies. The importance of trusting what God says as truthful and reliable for living. The best way to be human is to be a truth-embracing human that lives in reality, which is God's reality. And so too with our mental and emotional well-being. Our mental well-being is only as good as our ability to live in line with what's true, to live honest to reality. In fact, psychologist Scott Peck defines mental health as an ongoing process of dedication to reality at all costs. And William Becker says, your beliefs and misbeliefs are the most important factors of your mental and emotional life. And Christians especially have an investment in living truthfully because Christians live to be Christ-like, and Christ claims to be the embodiment of truth. Part of becoming Christ-like means being a human that is dedicated to living truthfully. Christians should be lovers of truth and rejecters of delusion. But as I said, people tend to lie to themselves. We have misbeliefs that keep us, that we keep repeating to ourselves until they seem like they are reality. So what does this look like? Let's look at a few examples. One of the most common lies that people have about themselves, and one I've struggled with and worked on hard on overcoming, is the lie that my worth is determined by others. If you have this lie, you'll see this work out in a number of ways in your life. You'll often be hyper-aware or anxious about how others view you. You'll have a fear of embarrassment or rejection. People with this lie will often hide their struggles and weaknesses and become overly concerned about their image. These people often become people pleasers who say yes to everything and avoid confrontation or take confrontation very personally. But what's the truth here? Well, the truth is, as Sarah emphasized last week, that you're a child of God and you have value just because you exist. A child of God that has value just because you exist. Your worth is determined by God, and he delights in you and created you with worth and value. And the truth is also that not everyone is going to like you, and that's okay. What's crazy to me is that we sometimes have higher expectations of ourselves than we do of Jesus. Think about this. Jesus was God incarnate, lived a perfect and sinless life, modeled for us the best way to be human. He was the embodiment of truth. And lots of people didn't like him. In fact, most people hated him. They executed him because they didn't like him. Surely the cross is in part symbolic of the fact that Jesus was hated. And if Jesus' worth was determined by others, he would have a pretty lousy time. But for some reason, we feel like we have to have everybody like us. Like somehow we're going to live a more perfect life than Jesus himself. The truth is, there are people, and there will always be people, who don't like you for whatever reason. And that's fine, because you'll have people that do like you, but ultimately your worth and value is in being a child of God. That's the truth. The next lie is probably one of the most damaging lies you can believe. This lie is, I can't change. People who believe this will be apathetic and have no hope for change, healing, or progress. These people are often stuck with bad relationships, character flaws, habits, or addictions. If you believe this lie, it'll stunt your spiritual, emotional, and social growth. Sometimes it will stop people making the changes they need to make physically as well. They'll make excuses saying, well, I'm just not a sporty person, or I've always been this way. And this lie can play itself out in a number of ways. People might think, I'm dumb and I will always be dumb. I'm boring and I will always be boring. I've always been angry, and that's just the way I am. People have never liked me much, so I'll never have good friends. People often don't change when they believe the pain of changing will outweigh the pain of staying the same. Those who believe they can't change often won't even try. Sometimes with this lie, people don't want to change. They've made friends with their pain and their current situation. So for this lie, instead of me just giving you what I think is the truth, I want you, with the people around you or the person next to you, to discuss what you think the truth is in response to this lie. So I'll give you about 1 or 2 minutes and then we'll hear what you guys come up with. So what's the truth in answer to the lie, I can't change? All right. So the worship team thinks they've got it sorted. They think the answer is simply, I can change, which is true, but I'd like for us to try just a wee bit harder than that. Thank you. Yeah, thanks. So what do we come up with? What do we think is a response to the lie, I can't change? What's the truth here? Sorry? I can be whatever I want to be. What else? I can do all things through Christ. Yep. What else? You have to want to change? Yeah. You need ownership over it, yeah.
The whole reason Jesus came was to bring change?
Absolutely. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, that kind of is the reason. That's Christians, we want to be like Christ, and to be like Christ, that's going to need change, as far as I know. Maybe not for Philip, but for the rest of us. Anything else? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I have changed and I will change. Yeah. Great. Christ wants us to change, to become more like our created selves and more like Him. There's always hope for change. And if someone had a gun to your head, you probably could change. Change requires effort and sometimes pain, but it always usually outweighs staying the same. Let's do one last lie. My feelings are always reliable. We laugh, but a lot of us will trust our emotions and our feeling and all our thoughts, all 80,000 of them every day. These people believe they have no choice over the way they feel. Their feelings are 100% accurate, which is tough because I'm sure you're aware sometimes we can feel several different ways about the same thing within the space of a few minutes. But someone with this lie believes that all their feelings are reliable and true. The way I feel about the situation is the truth about the situation. Someone looked at me funny and made me feel uncomfortable, therefore the situation is uncomfortable. Someone spoke to me assertively and now I feel threatened, therefore I am under threat right now. Someone didn't reply to my message to them, and that made me feel unloved or unworthy. Therefore, I am unloved or unworthy. So these people experience emotional instability, refusal to challenge feelings, resulting in progressively more self-delusions, mood swings, overreactions, arguments, relationship issues, and anxiety. Fun, eh? These people let their emotions control them, so they're never in control of their emotions. And sometimes these people justify their behavior because of their emotions. And actually, this is a really good lie to have if you want to completely ruin your marriage, for those of you looking to do that. But what's the truth here? Let's just yell out some ideas. What do we think's true in response to my feelings are always reliable? Yeah. The idea that there's choice in the way that you feel.
Believing the word of God, especially what Jesus says.
Yep.
If we want to change our feelings, we have to change our thinking.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you can take over. That's awesome. Any other ideas? Absolutely. Our feelings, they're fluid, they change, and there's actually a lot of factors in what we feel. Feelings are not facts.
Can I put another one?
Yes.
Sometimes people can be so swung to that extreme
of
the continuum that they can just not listen to their feelings at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
They are important, but they just put on the equation.
Yep, absolutely. And this is what I'm saying, where the thoughts we have that do produce feelings are either based on something that's true or untrue. It's about how you're going to discern whether they're true or not. So the truth is that feelings are not fact, although sometimes they will correspond with the truth. A lot of the times, though, our feelings don't take into account a number of things, like our lack of information, our previous experiences, some more pragmatic things, like whether we're hungry, tired, or sick. There are many reasons our feelings might be unreliable. You might need to ask some close and trusted friends as to whether your feelings actually do line up with the truth. You might need to pray and be discerning about the way you feel. So, what do we do with a lie in our life? Counselor Dave Riddell, he suggests the best way is for us to trace, face, and replace these lies. So tracing, where did it start? The lies in our lives don't come from out of nowhere. We can often look back in our lives and locate a moment or an event where we picked up this lie. What made you believe that you couldn't change? Is it because you tried and failed? Is it because a teacher or parent told you that you'd always be that way? Is it because you grew up being told that you're perfect the way you are, which was probably good intentions, but now that you're an adult, you've never tried to grow in character and become more like Christ? Tracing is about locating where the lie you believe has come from. Facing. Facing is about understanding why you believed this lie and the time and impact it had on your life. It's about accepting the role that this lie has played in your life and feeling the emotions that come with that. It's confronting the reality that this lie has had in your life. And then finally, replacing. You need to replace the lie with the truth. Brainstorm, pray, research, write, ask around, declare war on this lie. Figure out what the truth is in the situation and then constantly coach yourself with it. If you feel like you can't change, tell yourself the truth. Change is good for me and I have the capacity to do it. If you feel like your worth is in others, coach yourself in the truth that your value isn't determined by others. If you keep coaching yourself in truth, your emotions and your behaviors will follow. Paul gives us some helpful instructions. He says this: whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I can't change. Everyone is trustworthy. My worth is determined by other people. My worth is determined by my performance. Other people have power in my life. My feelings are always reliable. I determine other people's feelings. My choices have no consequences. My choices are crucial. I'm not okay. I'm a nuisance. Success, life, happiness should come easy. Life should always be fair. I am my body. I am my ideas. Nobody is trustworthy. What lie are you telling yourself? What lie is interfering with your mental and emotional well-being and stopping you from having the abundant life that God wants you to have? What is the truth about yourself that you need to make meaningful change in life, that is stopping you from making meaningful change in life? I truly believe that God wants you to leave this morning believing at least one less lie about yourself. God wants you to leave this morning being led ever closer through the Holy Spirit towards truthful living. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you that there are answers. We thank you that there is truth, and we thank you that you embody truth and you showed us a truthful way of living and you partner with us now to lead us into truth. Father, we believe lies sometimes, and they can control our lives, and they can stop us from living a faithful and abundant life in service of you. And Father, we as a congregation want to be a congregation that lives truthfully, that that isn't apathetic to the negative things that we believe, but is open by your Holy Spirit to be led into truth. Amen. Cool. Thank you.